start our afternoon worship service. We're a little light this afternoon. Hopefully we have people wandering in here in a little bit. For those of you who are present, we have some announcements to make before we begin. As we announced this morning, we have quite a few people out of town. As Chuck says, we've got more out of town than are here. The Clarks, Tim and Jane are out of town. Kirby's are out of town. It's good to have the Wrights back with us this afternoon. Dave Dickerson's out of town. Andrew and Charlotte Nevin and Tabitha are out of town. Kim Gaynor and the girls are also out of town. And Kaysen's, they were here this morning, but they left this afternoon to take Chelsea back to school. And so, like I said, we have quite a few that are out of town. Let's remember to pray for them and their safe travels. Concerning the sick, I don't have anyone as members here who are on the sick list. We did mention this morning that Bob Yeager went home from the hospital, Sandy's husband. So he's at home recovering, so let's continue to pray for him and his recovery. Concerning some upcoming events or upcoming duties, Martin Evans is down for the Wednesday night invitation. Oh, and then this morning we also announced some sad news. Charlie Sanders, the husband of Wanda Sanders over at Northwest, passed away yesterday. The funeral will be Tuesday at 1 o'clock. They will have visitation before that will start at 11, and that's at the Sunset Funeral Home. According to Sandy, that's up somewhere near Whirlpool. So let's, if we can attend that, I'm sure Wanda would appreciate that. And let's also pray for her and the family as they go through this difficult time. That's all the announcements I have. Those taking part in the worship service this afternoon, Warren Wright will be leading our singing. If you want to go ahead and turn to song number 800, it's the first song he's chosen. We'll ask Dan to lead our minds in the opening prayer at the appropriate time. I'll take care of the Lord's Supper if there's anything you need to partake. And then at the close of service, we'll ask James to lead our minds in closing prayer. Take out a songbook and join him to sing praises to God.
We'll sing all three verses. Amen.
Zion's call sweetly rings over land and sea, bidding us look to realms above. While the light from the throne shines for you and me, let us listen to the call of love. Zion's call is ringing, coming from the If the name of the Savior is precious to you, if his care has been constant and tender and true, if the light of his sweet. Oh, will you not, brother, the story repeat? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of His presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today? If the souls all around you are living in sin, if the Master has told you to bid them come in, if the sweet invitation they never have heard, oh, will you not tell them the cheer-bringing word? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of His presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today?
Father, we come to you this afternoon and give thanks for this chance that we have to be able to gather together this second time. We might recall the death of your son, some songs of praise, count all the many blessings that we have as children of yours. Father, we pray for the many who are not able to be with us in this hour. We have a few who are ill. We have several who are traveling. Father, we pray that those who are struggling with physical challenges of various sorts might be restored to a portion of health sufficient that they could rejoin us here. And that those who are traveling and away from us might have safe destinations to their journeys, so that at our next appointed meeting time, if that day is to be ours, they might be able to join back here with us so that we could all be together again as fellow Christians. Father, we pray for Chuck in this hour, this lesson that he has prepared. We pray that he'll have a good recollection of the things that he has studied, that he has kept you at the center of that study, that he has put himself aside, and that he has only sought to spread your word and that for each of us in the audience, likewise, that we might be able to put our own cares and concerns aside and focus fully on what's being presented to us. We could examine our relationship with you, that we could seek to strengthen that, that there are areas where we do need improvement, that if we do have areas indeed where we have gone contrary to your word and we have sinned, that we might recognize those things, own up to them, we might repent of them, and that you might be just to forgive us. Father, we pray for the lost in this community. There are many people who have not yet heard your gospel call or who have not responded to it. We pray that as those opportunities do become available, we might have the right thing to say, that we might be able to make an impact in such a way that they want to learn more, that they are inspired by your word and they want to receive that gospel call and become faithful children of yours as well. Father, we pray all these things in your son's name, you know, that all good things come through you, that all the physical and spiritual blessings we enjoy, you are the source of those. We pray in Jesus' name in this hour. Amen.
Amen.
Is there anyone here this evening who has to take the Lord's Supper? Okay. Not, let's turn to page 333. There'll be the song before Chuck brings the Celestials. Sing all four verses.
In the land of fadeless day lies the city born where it shall never pass away, and there is no night there. God shall wipe away all tears, there's no death. Gates of earth are raised in the city foursquare. All the streets with gold are laid, and there is no night there. God shall wipe away all tears. There's no death, no pain, nor fear. And the
Bibles. Tonight's one of those lessons where we're examining a text. And so open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm glad I made reference to part of this morning. You know how we often quote verses 12 and 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10? And you've heard me quote it. It said, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." And we also mentioned this morning this, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." Now, I have quoted this in sermons before. It's a great text. But you want to know what will make that come alive? Is if you go back to verse 1 and study 1 through 11. 1 through 11. And that's what we're going to be doing today. Learning more, and I announced this morning, the title, and that is, same start, different ending. And you're going to know why I came up with that as we go through this study this evening. And so I think it'll be profitable to all of us tonight as we study 1 Corinthians chapter 10, basically 1 through 13, but it's really 1 through 11. So let's read the first four verses, please. Follow along. Here's what Paul said to the brethren. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Let's just stop there for now. It's imperative that we understand where Paul is coming from to really understand the magnitude of those verses in verses 12 and 13 that I read earlier. I like to quote them. "Take heed lest you fall." You know, if you think you're not going to fall, you're going to fall. And then, you know, God knows our limitations. And as we discussed this morning. So let's get this timeline here, okay? And so, because he's dealing with this time period in the time of Moses. We all know that the great Bible character was Abraham. And of course, we talked about Adam in our Bible study this morning in Romans chapter 5. But he's talking about the time period when Moses came and led the children of Israel out of bondage, crossing the sea. Now, what he's trying to get across here and telling the brethren is the things that they had in common. They all started off the same. They all made it is the point. They all made it across the waters. Now, if you go to Exodus, the 14th chapter, because that's the context, that's what we just read. And so, in Exodus chapter 14, verse 21, he says, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left." So the key thing I want us to notice in that 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is where he emphasized in verse 2, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So when they crossed those parted waters, I can't even draw it. I'm not going to draw it. You're going to have to picture parted waters. Okay? And the cloud over top. And so the whole idea of baptized is you're totally immersed. That's why he used the terminology here. They were totally immersed. So when they left Egypt, they got to the other side of the water by Christ. You know, Christ existed back then. You know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let us make man in our image. Who is the us? Who is the our? It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, he's wanting them to see that they all pass through this. Why tell that to these Christians, Christians at Corinth? Well, I want you to keep your finger there because we're studying this text. But I'm backing up to Acts chapter 18. In Acts chapter 18, he tells them in verse 8, he says, "Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized." This is when the church at Corinth started. This is what he's talking about over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. They all made it through the water. They all made it. They all, and we stress that, they all got through the water and came up on the other side. And you Corinthian brethren, when you were baptized into Christ, you all came up. Because that's not really the main thrust of this text that we have here. He wants these people to make it to heaven. So what he's going to do, he's going to talk about the Israelites. And first of all, what they had in common. That's the first part of it. I don't want to get ahead of myself. You can see where we're going with this, right? Remember, take heed lest you fall. You know, he's obviously going to tell the Corinthian brethren, I don't want you to miss heaven. So he goes back and he talks about the Israelites. Yeah, let's go back then. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So they were all baptized into Moses. And look at verse 3. They all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. What in the world is he talking about there? Go to John chapter 6. What is he talking about? John chapter 6, verse 28. We'll start. John 6, 28. It said, "Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, and that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And so he's making reference back here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. They all ate the same spiritual food. They all ate the same spiritual drink. Well, what's the drink aspect? Go to John chapter 4. Back up a couple of pages, folks. John chapter 4, verse 13. As he talked to the woman at the well, he said, "Then Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." They all ate the same thing. They all drank the same thing. They all got across the waters. They all had that in common. That's what he was wanting the brethren at Corinth to have. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You remember how the book started up? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he told the brethren in verse 10, he said, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Brethren, we have to work hard at this. We want to be united here. We need to speak the same thing. We need to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Just like Israel of old, they had the same food, they had the same drink, and they all got across that water. And that goes for all of us. It's one thing to become a Christian. That's the point that we have in common with the story. That's the parallel through this. Everybody becomes a Christian the same way. You got to pass through the water. You have to be baptized. You have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can't be baptized for the remission of your sins unless you drink and eat. What? The word of truth. That word that has been revealed to you. You need to hunger and thirst after it. Now, not just to get across here, because there have been times when people have been buried with Christ, they rise up in newness of life, they're a new creature, they put off this old man over here, this old man, as Romans described, and puts on this new man. But there's a tendency with some people, once they do this, to fall. And that's why he's going to talk about these people. He's going to talk about what happened to them. What did happen to them? Well, look at verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Those people that he just described over here, they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud. They all went through the water. They all ate the same spiritual food. Well, that was the physical, the water, drink, okay, that was there. They had that in common. You and I have that too. But he's saying, but with most of them, God was not well pleased. Well, where do we see that? Let's back this up. Go over to Numbers. Go back to the Old Testament. We're going to go into Numbers, the 14th chapter. We'll pick it up in verse 26. Numbers 14, 26. This was after Joshua and Caleb have already defended that they should go in and take the promised land. But Numbers 14, 26 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. And you can read on in there. So we can understand over here in 1 Corinthians, most of them. He didn't say all. He didn't say that. He said most of them God was not pleased with in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Really? Yeah. Well, what's that got to do with us? What's that got to do with us here at River Ridge? What's that got to do with me? Well, what that has to do with me is, okay, so Chuck, you obeyed the gospel. That's wonderful. You were baptized into Christ. You're baptized in that water. That's like the Ethiopian. There's water. What hinders me? You saw how essential that was. You fed on the word. You learned that through the word of truth. That's great. That's wonderful. But why do you think for a moment that it's a one-way ticket? It's not. Why aren't you concerned about this? Brethren, here at first, the brethren at Corinth. The problems that they had. Some serious problems that we're going to be talking about. And there were five of them that we're going to get to. Brethren, we have to learn, because it can happen to us. And it's happening all around us. And we need to stay strong. So we get that point. Now we move down to verse 6 through 11. Okay? Now I'm going to take it a little bit at a time. Look at verse 6. And I'll probably just read verse 6 and then I'll read that next section, because the next section 7 through 11 gives us five warnings, five bad things. But look at verse 6. I want to spend some time on this. He said, now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after things as they also lusted. Now that number, that first one is lusted. I'll talk about that in a moment. So don't go that far in the verse. Okay, that's going to be the first one. But there's five of them things that they're told, that the Christians were told, don't do these five things that those people were guilty of doing. But before we get there, he said, these things I'm telling you about with Israel of old, they're there for our example. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about this concept of an example. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to be talking in just a moment about elders. I'm going to talk about deacons. I'm going to talk about members of this congregation, of any congregation, any member of the church. All relating to what the Bible teaches about giving for an example. And I think sometimes it gets passed off. First of all, I want us to notice in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 18, he says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. He went on talking about, for this is commendable, if because of your conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you will take it patiently, this is commendable before you. For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, and so on. Jesus Christ is our example. What's that mean? Well, he's to be my example. What's that mean? That means you're to imitate that. You are to imitate his example. And I think what it helped me to think in these terms of elders and deacons and the rest of the congregation, because the Bible gives us passages about that. You're in Peter? Look at chapter 5. You're right there. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look what he says in verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, whom a fellow elder, witness of the suffering of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willing, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, here it is, but be examples to the flock. Did you guys understand what that means? He's saying, elders, I want you to be examples to the flock. And what's the members doing? The members are going, well, they better be a good example. You know, I expect those elders to do this, this, and this. Why? Well, they're supposed to be examples to the flock. You're missing the point. They're to be examples to the flock, so the flock follows them, does exactly what they do. Jesus was our example. Do exactly what he does. When he was reviled, did not revile in return. Well, no, Jesus is just my example. He's just an example. So, I expected him not to sin. He wants you to follow his footsteps. That's what it means to be an example. These examples I'm giving you about Israel. Thank you. That's very, I appreciate that. That's very informative. But they're an example. What's that mean? Learn from them. And so I'm supposed to be mindful of every aspect of my life to be an example to others. And then we talk about, you can get into the qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and look at deacons. Now, it doesn't say that they were deacons, and I'm not going to say that they were deacons over there in Acts chapter 6. But he talks about, pick out from among you seven men full of faith. You find those people who are good examples. Now, the deacons, just like the elders, are to be good examples so others can imitate them. Do you get that? That's a lot of responsibility. It sure is. But it's not just the elders and the deacons. Then we get over to a passage like 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's turn over there. So nobody gets overlooked in this. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll start reading in verse 12. He tells young Timothy here, let no one despise your youth. Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Let's stop. So, Timothy, I want you to be this kind of person to the believers. So all believers are trying to imitate Timothy. In what areas? Well, he says here, be an example to them in word, in your conduct, in your love, in your spirit and faith, in purity, in doctrine, all aspects of our life. Folks, think about this. You are to be an example. What kind of an example are you setting? You say, well, Chuck, examples are just to look at. No, examples are there to follow, to learn from. And that tells me I have a tremendous responsibility as a member of the body of Christ to be an example to the rest of the believers. Yes, we can do it as an elder, as an evangelist, as a deacon. And then we think of our Savior Jesus himself. Say, Chuck, have you gotten off track here? If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, are you off track? I'm really not. Let's go back there now to our text. Because I told you, verses 12 and 13 will come alive in its context. I love 12 and 13. But I also love all that what Paul is trying to get across here. These are our examples. So, what's the first one? To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Brethren at Corinth, he says, don't you lust after evil. They lusted after evil things. And don't forget the verse that we just read there in verse 5. God was not pleased with, and let's keep that word before us, most of them. It's the same today. Because God was pleased with you. And God today is pleased with you. Tremendous responsibility. Is God pleased with me? Well, he said, well, first of all, okay, it's great that you became a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, you need to become, because that's crucial. That's crucial. He was talking about in a positive sense in the first four verses about what Israel did in crossing the waters. They were in Egyptian bondage. We're not. And that's the sermon for us today. We were in bondage to sin, but we were set free. There's a lot of comparisons. I love preaching that when I talk about Israel leaving Egypt and you and I leaving the world. Because when they got across the waters, you've heard me talk about when they crossed the waters, were they in the promised land? Not yet. They still had to travel to the promised land. When you came up under the waters of baptism, are you in heaven? You're not in heaven. Still got to get there. And so he talked about the idea these things are for our example. You have a lot of examples, as I just finished mentioning, with Jesus and other brethren. But don't lust after things. Well, like what? What did they lust after? Let's go back to Numbers. Numbers, the 11th chapter, which this is an example of the brethren back, or the Israelites back there. First of all, in chapter 11 and verse 4, and then we're going to move on down to verse 4 will do. Back up in verse 3, he says, so he called the name of the place Taberah, because of the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving, so the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leek, the onions, and the garlic. And oh, if we just desire, we crave to be back in Egyptian bondage. Oh, things were so much better back then. That's like us becoming a Christian and just longing to walk like we did in the world. We want to go back and we lust after those evil things that take us away from where we're going and the direction we're going, trusting in God. Lusting after evil things is a common thing that causes people to lose their way. It can cause God not to be happy with us. Folks, I don't want to miss heaven. I don't know what that says. I think that was the old one. Okay. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is all about. Take heed lest you fall. Well, what's that all about? Well, because of verse 6. Don't lust after evil things as they also lusted. What else? Look at verse 7. Do not become idolaters as some of them, as it is written, they sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Did you notice that he's using the concept to play with idolatry? Fun and frolic. We just want to eat, drink, and be merry. It's all about having fun. I can't wait to have some fun. And he compared that with the fall of the most over here who came through the waters, which is going to be the same today. That's why he's preaching this. Is that the Christians who get baptized, they come up out of the water, and they just want to play. They want to play. And he describes it as idolatry. He says, you need to learn. Because that's what they did back then. Back in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 6, it says, they rose up to play. Joking and dancing was connected with idolatry. And what Paul is saying, satisfying every lust that we have, that becomes our God. Is what he's saying. That's idolatry, folks. You put something before God. Play comes before God often. It's the fun and frolic. And if we're not going to learn from their example, then guess what? He's going to come back after all these points. He's going to say, take heed lest you fall. Oh, I'm not going to fall. Oh, okay. He says, you don't think you can fall, you will. Be aware of these dangers. And that's why he spends most of this chapter talking about these very things. Idolatry is common even today, folks. You say, well, we don't have those little Buddhas in our home, but you don't need this image in your house to bow down to and you pray to. But when you have something that takes away from your devotion to God, what happens? This is very real. I don't want anybody to miss heaven. And I'm preaching this to myself. I don't want to miss heaven, so I need to take these warnings to heart. Don't get caught up in this, but that's not where he stopped. Let's read on. How are we doing, Tom? We're good, great. Okay. Look what he said in verse 8. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day, 23,000 fell. 23,000 of them because of sexual immorality. It's sad. It happens. Somebody told me recently about a couple in their congregation where they're having an affair. And then I was also told that those two couples just went on a trip together. Nobody's made this known. Nobody's on top of it. But I'm just telling you that, I'm shocked. Nothing shocks me anymore. What, are we immune to those kind of things? That's why he's teaching on this. Not immune to this. We've got to stay on guard about this. We've got husbands and wives here. That's great and that's wonderful. But we have to be careful. You don't cross that line. The flirtation that could happen. The comments that shouldn't be said. The confiding. You know, in all seriousness, I don't want to pick on any particular lady here, but if you came up to me with some intimate story, I'm going to say, talk to Debbie. Talk to another sister. I don't need to hear that stuff. And so we need to be careful of getting caught up in this stuff. And men, you got some problems at home? Don't go share it with another sister. Don't do that. You're just asking for trouble. But see, the committing of sexual immorality is so rampant, it's everywhere. It existed back then. You can go to Numbers chapter 25, 1 through 3. We are constantly exposed to it. Moms and dads. It's hard. I want my granddaughters to dress modestly, but I'm just talking about them. I want everybody, but the point is, I'm just using them as an example. I want them to dress modestly, but I also want my granddaughters to look like girls. You know, I can remember my daughter just didn't like it when, you know, she takes her little daughter out and they go, how old is he? It's a boy, you know, you know, they kind of get offended, you know, when somebody says it's a he when it's really a she. And I understand that. But here's my point. As the kids get older, and I realize, you know, dressing modestly, but if Leah has a boy, is she going to put that boy in short shorts? Well, nothing. No, I'm not putting him in short shorts. Why would you do that? I mean, they make long shorts for boys. You're not going to put them in short shorts. Well, why do you put your daughter in short shorts? Well, because she's a girl. Huh? You see, the point is, now it's becoming to dress sexy, not modest. And if we're going to say to ourselves, it's no difference between the male and the female, then how come you don't see men and boys walking around with short shorts? You don't. You don't. But you do girls because why? Because that's the norm. They're supposed to look like girls. Excuse me? You can look like a girl and still dress modest. And the same with boys. You know, because if you say, Chuck, I know somebody does that. Well, if I see that boy, I'm going to say, put some clothes on. The point, it's the same thing. It's like the old basketball. I mean, have you seen old pictures? I'm going, man, that's embarrassing. I would hate to have played NBA basketball or, you know, college back in the 60s. I mean, yikes, put some clothes on. Now it's not so bad, right? They're big and long and baggy, and that's cool. But girls, try and chop them. Try and chop. It's tough. But I'm just saying, that's just one small aspect of this whole idea of the what's happening out there in this world, in this sexual immorality that does exist. And you've heard me preach sermons on that. I went back to the Old Testament. I went to, you know, Solomon talked about that. You know, dressing like a harlot. And just there's just so much that's written on this. And Paul mentioned it in the book of Romans. You know, man, don't touch a woman. Get married. Well, okay, we're going to someday. You know, how many people just live with one another? Fornication is rampant. It's we're living in a society today that if you told somebody that you haven't had sexual relations before marriage, they're like, what? I have never seen this movie ever. Never seen it, but I've heard the title. 40-year-old virgin. I guess it's to make fun of somebody. It's disgusting. The whole concept to me, let's make fun of somebody who doesn't want to commit fornication. And I'm not saying the person doesn't want to. Maybe the movie hole was that he did want to, but he couldn't. But I don't know. But the point is, that's our society today, folks. They make fun of that. It's the norm. It's accepted. Take heed lest you fall. That's where we're going. Take heed lest you fall. These things caused this. How did Israel fall? He says these are the things that happened. He says, don't lust after evil things, which they did. Don't get caught up in idolatry, which they did. Don't commit sexual immorality, which they did. Now look at number 9, or verse 9. Here's another one. Don't tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by the serpents. Do you remember that? Moses had to raise that brass snake, and they had to look at it in order to be healed. But all those snakes come in and bit them, and many were dying because of this. I love preaching on that, too, because I'm thinking, well, that was kind of easy, wasn't it? I mean, who wouldn't look? I mean, if you got bit by a snake, who wouldn't look at the brass? I mean, if that's all you got to do is just look at, I'm thinking, who wouldn't do that? Who wouldn't get baptized for remission of their sin? Who wouldn't do this? Who wouldn't do that? I don't understand. The Lord doesn't make it difficult for us to obey. But the tempting against Christ is connected with the last point here. In Numbers 21, 5 and 6, it says they spoke against God. Don't tempt me. You ever tell that to your child? Don't tempt me. You know, the whole idea of tempting Christ, tempting is what he talks about here. Don't do that, because that's what they were doing with God. And how were they doing it? Well, they were saying things against God, and it was more like this with our next point. I'll just jump ahead and read this back in Numbers. It will connect with the last point in that section. But back in Numbers, I want to read from chapter 14. Let me get back there. Numbers 14, first four verses. Listen to this. Numbers 14. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried And the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not have been better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. And the Lord, my terminology, kind of lost it. You know, these people constantly complain. You want to tempt God? Well, how did he use it over here in 1 Corinthians 10? He also mentioned in verse 10. He said, nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyed. Complaining, murmuring, grumbling. Folks, that'll destroy. You say it can destroy a church. Well, think more closely to home. It'll destroy you. You'll lose your soul over. That's what this whole sermon was all about. That's what this whole text is about. Brethren at Corinth. There was a lot of problems there. And you go to the 13th chapter. You want to know what the problem was? It was lack of love. They didn't love each other like they should have. They didn't love the Lord like they should have. And so he's going to go back and talk about Israel of old that passed through the water, ate the same spiritual drink, or drank the same spiritual drink, ate the same spiritual food. But God was not pleased with most of them. Why? Because of all those things of sexual immorality and lusting after evil things, tempting God, complaining. That can happen to us. I don't want to be... Imagine losing your soul just because you're a complainer. Imagine that. Grumbling? A murmur? Can that happen? It was happening here at Corinth. And that's why 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 is, brother, be of the same mind for one another. Be united. Listen to the Lord. And you can make it. That's the good news. You can make it. So what does this all bring us to? Well, it brings us to verse 11. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now listen, if you think you've had problems and tempted in any of these five areas, and you say, but Chuck, nobody knows what I've gone through. Are you kidding me? Such as common to man. You're not the only one that's faced problems. You're not the only one that's faced the temptations in this world. Satan doesn't want you to remain faithful. His goals were simple. Number one, he doesn't want you to become a Christian. Don't get back. I mean, that's his ultimate goal. Don't become a Christian. And if you do, don't stay faithful. His job's easy. It's just, those are the only two things he focuses on. So once we become a child of God, now the work begins. Yeah, there was work in becoming a Christian, being born again. I get that. Crossing the river, crossing the waters there, and heading over to the promised land. Okay? You're going to go over there. But just getting there, getting to the promised land, there were so many pitfalls along the way. But from the get-go, they started to be a bunch of complaints. It wasn't as easy as they thought it would be, or should be. He brought us over here. We're hungry. We're going to starve to death. And just went on from there. Brethren, it's no different with us as part of God's family right here at River Ridge. The church that Jesus purchased with his own blood. We are members of that body. What a joy it is to be Christians and have that hope of heaven. But I want to stress, like Paul did here, take heed lest you fall. You could have fallen and you're still here. You could be fallen and still here every week, every time the doors are open. I have no idea. I'm trying to be optimistic, and I give you the benefit of the doubt that everything's fine. That's good. But I want you to realize that there are times when people don't think they've fallen, and they have fallen. They're not well. They think they're healthy. I preach lessons like this so that we can examine ourselves. Learn from the examples of others. And at the same token, think about your example. Think about your example. As moms and dads, as brothers and sisters, the things that we can do to try to help others get to heaven, that's what it's all about. And so I hope this lesson to you helped bring to life those two verses that we often make reference to about the dangers of falling away by looking at those people who are, it's an example to us. So where are you tonight? Where are you? Have you been faithful to our Lord? First of all, have you become a Christian? Have you crossed the waters like Israel, so to speak? They were baptized into one, and we all become Christians the exact same way. But there are times when people have been immersed in water. They went down a dry center and came up a wet center because they didn't even know what they were doing. You have to understand the plan of salvation, that you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you're willing to repent and confess your faith in Him, repent, turn, and follow Him, and then be baptized into Christ for remission of your sins. You rise up in newness of life, as Romans chapter 6 described, and what Romans, Revelation 2:10 say? Be faithful to them. Say, well, Chuck, what, we all sin. Okay, we do. Chuck, have you not sinned since you've been baptized? Yes, I have. Did you go forward? If you sinned of a private nature, you take care of it privately. It's as simple as that. The world doesn't have to know. Everybody doesn't have to know. If you've sinned publicly, you don't want to bring reproach upon the church, which is the pillar and ground of truth. And that's why he talked about in James chapter 5 of being restored. Folks, let's be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. Let's encourage each other to get there. I want to go to heaven. I know you want to go to heaven. So here's the key. Let's help each other get there. And you know how we help each other get there? Is let's be examples to one another. Positive examples, encouraging each other, and not to grow weary. So tonight, if you're subject to the invitation in any way, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song that was announced.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come, for he loves you so. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you. He's the same loving Savior yet, Jesus the crucified. Casting your heavy burden down, come to the cross, the world may frown. Yet you shall wear a glorious crown when he makes up. Same loving Savior yet, Jesus the crucified. Open for you the pearly gate, loved ones for you now watch and wait. Terrible thought, to cry too late, Jesus I come.
Just a few moments, we'll have our closing prayer. I'd like for us to turn to Page number one. Sing the first and last verses, then we'll be there in open prayer, closing prayer. First and last verse.
Each day I'll do, I've gone in thee, by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can.
My evening sun
is sinking low.
Father in heaven, we are thankful that we had another opportunity today to come together and worship you and learn more about your word. We pray now, as we prepare to leave here, we pray that we get home safely and pray for those who are traveling around town. And pray for us all to have a good week and help us in our day-to-day lives and forgive our sins. In your son's holy and righteous name, pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.